to continue our series titled Supernatural, and this is our fourth in this series. And you know, we are called to live a supernatural life. It is the truth. And it's really a walk of faith for us because we live in our flesh and blood bodies. How many know that? You know, you can have a bad day. Sometimes you can say something you shouldn't have said. I know we get to church and we pretend like our lives are never like that, but hey, you know, God's changing that. He's really teaching us how to be real. Real people living real life with a real God who's got the answer. And if we're just real and open and accept his grace, not only do we get forgiveness, we get the power of God to live a supernatural life. But until we're willing to accept the grace to its fullest, not only forgiveness, but allowing God to work in us in situations that sometimes make us feel uncomfortable. I mean, I know that if I was to ask any of you, if you've ever believed God for something, for some kind of breakthrough, maybe a special offering that God put on your heart to give a certain amount of money, or God said, you know, I want you to go and I want you to speak to that person over there. I want you to pray for that person. I want you to be a witness, or I want you to maybe give something to somebody. If you've ever had that happen, I guarantee you, you have come to a crossroads where you felt uncomfortable. How many know what I'm talking about? Because see, God will make us, a couple of us, maybe the rest are just busy writing. But you know, if you haven't ever felt uncomfortable with God, get out of your box. God is in the business of making us feel uncomfortable. Because when we feel uncomfortable and believe him according to us, it doesn't mean we have to act weird, all right? I mean, last week we looked at the Bible tells us that we are zealous of good works. We're a chosen people, zealous of good works. We should be hungry and zealous for the good works of God, allowing God to work on the inside of us. But it's going to take us being uncomfortable once in a while. I mean, look what it says, Mark 16. Let's look at our foundational scriptures. He says, these signs will follow those who believe. How many believers here this morning? He says, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, we believe this in this church. And when you believe this, your life's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. Come on, somebody. Help me out. It's going to be. But you are going to see the power of God work. And, you know, we open up our altars and we pray for people during worship like we just did. And I know there's some people come and they say, boy, they're not sure what that's all about. Some people have seen it. Some people haven't. We are believing God for whatever our need is, whether it's healing, whether it's some kind of deliverance from, how many know, your mind, you need deliverance once in a while. How many have I, come on, you know. Somebody said, I need deliverance from my spouse. That's not what I'm talking about. No. Just joking. But, you know, you need God's help. And if you can't get the help you need in church, where can you get it? If you can't get the help you need around a bunch of people who love the Lord, then where can you get it? But the Bible says that when we believe that these signs will follow, Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. So if his kingdom is not of this world, then we need to understand that the kingdom resources are not going to come from this world or in a way that we're used to. And that's why we feel uncomfortable sometimes. That's why we have to get out of the box. It says in Isaiah 55 that my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Even as the heavens are high above the earth, so my ways are beyond your ways and past finding out. But aren't you glad through his spirit he reveals them to us? And we'll look at that principle today. Because his ways are just different than ours. They're past understanding in our natural mind. It says in Philippians 3:20 that we're citizens in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, say he will, who will? He will transform, it says, our lowly body, and that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So see, we're citizens in heaven living in a flesh and blood body. We said last week, and we're going to keep saying this throughout the course of this series, we are a spirit, all right? We have a soul, that's our mind, our will and emotions, and we live in a body. It's an earth suit. That's what Pastor Dwayne Vanderclack calls it. When you go to the moon, you need a spacesuit. To live here, you need an earth suit. That's what this is. Helps get oxygen and food and things and just takes us around, and our spirit walks around in this body. All right? But we're a spirit, and our flesh, really, we need to train it to see things from a God perspective. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, we started talking a couple of weeks ago, going through some core values or principles, if you will, that we need to understand if we are going to live the supernatural life. How many want to live a supernatural life? How many want to do those things we read in Mark chapter 16? You know, and so we need to understand, we looked at some things over the past couple of weeks, seeing that, you know, you got to believe that God always causes things to work out for your good. You've got to believe that. We've got to believe that God loved us first. Say first. See, before we responded to God's love, and you may say, well, why is that important? That's important because you're going to blow it. And the devil will help you blow it, even if you can do a good enough job on your own. Help me out. But you'll blow it, and then you're going to be tempted to think, well, God doesn't love me anymore. It's not, God doesn't, he loves me, he loves me not. That is not the kingdom of heaven. God loved us first before he redeemed us. We answered yes and then responded to that love, and then we're supposed to give that love away. We understand that fear is no part of God's plan for our life. It's no part of what he has. So perfect love, the love of God, casts out all fear. So when we sense fear, we need to deal with that really in a godly perspective. And it really, through the love of God, is the way we get the victory there. We need to believe that God has nothing but welfare and blessing for our lives. We need to believe that we're a special holy people, his prized possession, zealous of good works. We need to believe that we are meant to overpower and overcome anything that is evil against us. And then last week we left you, and really I'll just say this. Say, good God. Say, bad devil. That is really good doctrine. You've got to, if you're going to live a supernatural life, you've got to believe that God has nothing but good. He's good, and the devil is bad, and that's that. And then you and I just need to walk accordingly and allow the power of God to work through our lives. Now, this morning, I want to talk about another principle, which I think is extremely important, and the fact that you and I need to realize that we were born to rule in the power and the authority of the kingdom of heaven. We were born to rule, and that's a stretch, okay? You say that, you know, you look at your life sometimes, and you think, to rule and to reign with Christ. Well, that's for the apostles that lived 2,000 years ago. And that's what so many people think. They kind of just check out. In fact, we have whole denominations that say, well, you know, the signs of the gifts of the Spirit, rather, those all went away with the early apostles, those nine gifts. And we're going to talk about those this morning because they are available, still here, all right? There's really more than nine, but we'll look at the most common nine, and we'll talk about that when we get to it. But the thing is, denominations will say, well, that went with the early. And so what we say is, if we don't see the supernatural power of God living in our lives, we come up with doctrines that make an excuse, that make it okay. All right? You know, the thing is, if you make excuses at some point, you are going to regret that. An excuse today is a regret tomorrow. Let me just say that. And so I don't want regrets. I want to live all out for the kingdom of heaven. How about you? And so we need to realize that we are called to rule through the power of God's kingdom, realizing dominions and kingdoms of this world are to become the kingdoms of God. First, we do it through intercession and believing the power of God, walking in the power of God in this human body, but then eventually we will rule and reign here in our new bodies with Christ. So we are declaring things that are to come and believing God for them manifesting right now, because Jesus said in John 14:12, greater things you'll do to me than me because I go to my Father. Let's read this in Daniel 7:27. It says, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. You may not believe this morning, but if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a saint. Say, no, Pastor Tony, I'm not. No, it has nothing to do with how you act. Now, we should live good moral lives, and that is without question. But you're a saint because of what Jesus Christ did for you, all right? And so depending on your upbringing, that may be a challenge for you this morning. I'm going to tell you, the saints of God are those who believe in Jesus Christ. He says that shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions shall serve and obey him. See, the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God. And we say, well, it sure doesn't look like it. Because here's the thing, because we think, in our humanity, we think, well, things are just going to get better and better, and things will get more peaceful, and when peace comes, then we've arrived somewhere. And you know, that is exactly, if you look at end times teaching, and I'm not the best end times teacher, but I have studied it and read it, and I continue to listen to teachers, and you look at what the Bible says about it. That is exactly how the Antichrist will mislead so many people. Is he'll come and he'll say, peace! And there'll be world peace for a season. Right? But that's not it. You know, the way we know that this season is coming is because of the wars and the rumors of wars and the increasing violence. And Jesus talked about it. We're not going to turn to this morning. You can read about it on your own, Matthew 24. Take time, read it. Jesus talks about it. It will become more violent. The Bible says that men's hearts will trouble them for fear, living in these times that we live in. So what we're doing is we are, in fact, ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, establishing the rules and the regulations of heaven, Because there's coming a time when the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God. And right now we're doing it through intercession, if you will, declaring the praises of God, declaring the promises of God, being a witness for Jesus Christ, listening to what Holy Spirit is saying to us, and living out our lives as the church the way the Bible teaches it. Luke 17:20, look what Jesus said. And now he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And he answered and he said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is what? Within you. Within you. The kingdom of God is not something that says, the kingdom, it was over here, and the kingdom was over here. Now the kingdom does manifest, all right? But the kingdom of heaven is within. Now I'm not saying it's not good. It's good to go to conferences, all right? It's good to go to different types of gatherings and services. But you can't go there looking for the kingdom, expecting to get it and to bring it back somewhere. The kingdom of heaven is something that's inside that is manifesting through you and through me. Now, there is an impartation that can happen. But it has to start on the inside. Come on, somebody. It has to start. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is something that's working. Jesus said that he who believes in me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. See, the kingdom of heaven is something that flows out and is producing something here in this life, producing the kingdom. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Luke 4:43, we're not going to turn there, but Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom. You and I should have the same attitude, preaching the kingdom of heaven. Matter of fact, let me look here a minute. I'm going to turn there now. I've got a scripture I want to insert here. Don't have it in my notes, but I want to read this together this morning, which is really going to help us out. It's in Ezekiel 47. It's just a real short passage or a few verses, about five verses I want to read. Ezekiel 47. And I want to read the New King James Version. So Ezekiel 47, I'm going to start to read in verse 7. Ezekiel 47, verse 7, New King James Version. And this is the vision of the healing waters that Ezekiel has. And it really speaks, I believe, of the latter times that we're living in. He says, when I returned there along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and the other. This is where, if you read it, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he has this vision and the rivers keep, remember they start at his ankles, then his knees, and then his waist, and then he can't swim in it and just gets caught in the current. So that's what's happening here. And so God is showing this picture. And I'll tell you what, the kingdom of heaven is something, you either get caught in the current or you stand on the shore and just watch. All right. And so here it says, this water flows to the eastern region, goes down to the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. This is really a picture. Jesus said, he who believes in me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. This is the kingdom of heaven starting within and coming out. All right, that's a picture. That's what this is a picture of. He says, there will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go. Remember Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, all right? He says, for there will be healed and everything wherever it goes, where the river goes. Verse 10. It shall be the fishermen will stand by it from Engedi to Anglium, and they will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea. Exceedingly. This is a picture of the harvest. It says, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. And that is really a picture of dead religion. It is a picture of dead religion. All right? And we can have dead religion in our life even if we go to a church that's alive. Come on, somebody, help me out. Amen. Dead religion is anything that we think will get us more like God or closer to God in our own natural thinking. That's the easiest way I can put it. Well, if we just do this and we do that, and if people dress this way and dress that, and we should be modest and all. I'm not saying that. And we teach on that, and we'll talk more about that. But we have this picture of all these external things. I mean, there's church after church after church. We get a group of people together like this, and we try to teach them how to live better lives. And that's important, but that is not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is something that comes from the inside out, being produced by the rivers of living water that only Jesus can deposit. Come on, somebody. And it says, verse 12, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, the inside. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. That is a picture of a person who is believing God that the rivers of living water are flowing from the inside and reaching out to other people. Now, I want to look at what Jesus said here. This is John 15. And it's not in my notes, but let's turn here anyway. It's very good. This is also New King James Version, John 15. Some of us may know this, but it really, really will help us. Jesus said, remember, it says, these are trees that are planted for bearing fruit, for healing, for the nations. Verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch, say every, in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, this is where a lot of people quit. This is where a lot of people quit. God, because here's, I was just talking to our leaders here a couple weeks ago, our ministry leaders. And you see so many times that people will leave a church, all right? Now, God moves people on. God moves people from one church to another church. That does happen. And there's a right and a wrong way. But God, you know, God's people are God's people. He can do what he wants. But so many times you see people, you pastor for a number of years, you will see people that when they've been at a church for a while and God expects them to start to really get maybe involved in a specific ministry or get involved in ministry in general or whatever, or maybe just to start to grow up a little. Hello, somebody. Turn to the person next to you, say, he's talking to you. All right? Time to grow up a little bit. And that's when we're like, I don't know, this church is just, it's not the same. Well, I hope not. I hope not. Because churches that are just the same, just stay the same. All right? But there comes a time where God wants to start to prune. God wants to start to produce fruit in my life, in your life. And that is, listen, start to do a little trimming. It might hurt a little bit. Hello, somebody. But that's where so many people say, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I mean, that's why you see it's staggering statistics. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this. But you've heard it before that 20% of people do 80% of the work. That's what statistics show in churches. That's in healthy churches, by the way. Wow. And that's really why. Now, people have schedules. People are busy. I realize that. But do you know the church? You say, well, you know, church leadership, we think about things like this sometimes, about how the church really has competition. You may not look at it that way. But, you know, McDonald's has competition. They call it Burger King. How many know, you know, this competition? But do you know that church, if you just look at it from this standpoint, church is in competition with everything. We live in times, and I realize people are busy. When I was a kid growing up, all right, and I was very involved in sports growing up, you would never have football or soccer or baseball practice on a Sunday. Never. It didn't mean you go to church because I didn't go to church. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't do things on Sundays other than go to church. That is not what I'm suggesting. But we are living in times where, listen, people, you and I have decisions to make whether we're going to allow God to work in our life or not work in our life. And that's the point I'm trying to make. There's so many times, people, we get to this point where God says, I want to start to use you this way. I want to start to use you that way. And people can get uncomfortable. Verse 3, it says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken. You abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So the key to bearing fruit is abiding in Jesus. And abiding in Jesus sometimes may make you feel uncomfortable. All right? All right? That's just, you know, now you're not always going to feel uncomfortable, and that's not what I'm saying. There are times of refreshing. There are times of great rejoicing. But you are going to have times where it's going to be, okay, I don't know, but I'm going to believe you, God. And this is where fruit is start to be, because you cannot do this on your own. And we're going to look at some other verses to support this. That you can only bear fruit by allowing God, the rivers of living water, Jesus, if you will, to flow through me and produce the kingdom of heaven that is not over here or over there with observation, but comes from within. Are you with me today? So that's why this is so important. Not do this, don't do that, don't chew, don't drink, don't run with those that do, and if you spit, make sure you don't spit in a styrofoam cup. I mean, there are just all these numbers of things. Well, there's a good Christian. He's got a really nice spittoon. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. It doesn't. All right? Nowhere does Jesus say, if you're my disciple, you will quit smoking. He didn't say that. All right. So, well, they didn't smoke back then. Well, all right. But he says this, verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, say word, you will ask me what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. And so the desire of every Christian should be to bear much fruit and to produce the kingdom of heaven that is coming in a time to come in its fullness. But right now, the kingdom of heaven is within us. And so we need to allow God to bring it out. And the way it comes out is called grace. And that produces faith in our lives. And we live by grace and faith producing the fruits of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to move on to the next point. We're not going to read that last scripture on my notes there. If you're following on your phones with YouVersion, you can read that when you get home. But I also want us to understand something, because if we're going to live this way, if we're going to realize that the kingdom of heaven is something that is coming to its fullness in the future, but you and I are now declaring it, if you will, or through intercession, declaring it to it till its fullness comes, then we got to believe that we're God's friends and that he tells us his secrets. There are whole denominations that tell people, you can't read your Bible, you would never understand it, so we'll give you this pamphlet every week. That is a bunch of hogwash. So read your Bible. And people say, well, I don't understand it. I've tried to read it. I don't understand it. Your excuses today will be your regrets tomorrow. Amen. Well, we'll try to read it again. Get another translation. Before I got saved, I didn't hardly read anything, okay? Sports Illustrated, and I wasn't reading that. But I got born again, and, you know, the Spirit of God just prompted me to really, I had a hunger for the Word of God, and I started to read. And I'll tell you, I read and read and read and read. If you do not read, you are not sowing into your future. I'm just going to say that this morning. If you don't read, start today. Read the Bible. You can read other Bibles, but read things that point you to the Bible, please. But reading, I'll tell you what, you are sowing into your future. Listen to this here, what Jesus says, John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends for all things that I have, how many things? For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus isn't holding anything back. So if someone tells you, well, you can't understand the Bible. Now, we need teachers, all right? We need pastors. We need helps, okay? We need help. But listen, if anybody ever tells you you can't understand the Bible, run from that person. You don't need them, okay? Because you need Jesus. And the Holy Spirit working in you, which is Jesus for us, we'll get into that. Holy Spirit is just like Jesus on the inside. Come on, somebody. All right? He says, but I show you all things because I call you my friends. We're co-laboring, establishing the mystery and the power of the kingdom of heaven. You know, we've looked at it before, so I'm not going to turn there, but Proverbs 25:2, it says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out or to seek it out. And I like to say, agree with what Bill Johnson says from Bethel Church. He says, God hides things for me, not from me. It's the truth. You know, if you want to learn more about God, get in the habit of seeking. Get in the habit of hungering and thirsting and getting in the Word of God. Remember, we just read in John 15 that if we abide in God's Word and He abides in us, that whatever we ask, all right, will be done for us, that we'll bear much fruit. Ephesians 3, it says this, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, say, when I read, remember I said, we got to read, folks, all right? So when you read, you may understand. Say, I may understand. And so Paul's saying, if you read this, you will understand the same knowledge, the mystery of Christ that has been delivered to all people who believe on the name of Jesus. So if you want to know the mysteries of Christ, read the Bible and let the Holy Spirit start to reveal things to you. Luke 8:10, and Jesus said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Let me just say it this way. The mysteries or the treasures of heaven. Look, it's kind of like looking for treasures. Say, okay, God, what do you want to show me today? What do you want to do in my life today? Who do you want me to speak to today? Whose life do you want me to touch today? who do you want me to show kindness to today? We were at a family function yesterday. My wife, Trish, she reached out to this young lady. We just met her. She's a girlfriend of one of my nephews and never met her before. And it was, it was quite a few people, 30, 35 people, whatever, in a pretty small room and just celebrating. My brother just got married a couple of months ago and remarried. He lost his wife a couple years ago to cancer and just got remarried. We're just all visiting. And so it's kind of hard. It was kind of a hard room to navigate. And some people are sitting at a table of four over here and a table. You've never been like that. It's just all, I guess the restaurant did the best they could, but it wasn't the best for meeting everybody. I mean, there were people I never even hardly got to talk to. But I remember Trish just reached out to this young lady. I don't know if she talked to her. She had a tattoo or something, I think it was. And Trish started talking to her about, listen, here's what most people will do. And people wonder, well, Pastor, why do you have tattoos? For this very reason I'm telling you right now. That's why. Because we're in a society now where we say, they got tattoos. Okay. I don't like tattoos. Then don't get one. Why is it bad? I mean, really, Why don't you walk up to someone and say, that's a nice tattoo. Now, if it's not a nice tattoo, don't lie. Because some of them, but ask, here's the thing, ask God. I'm not saying go find somebody with a tattoo and start to witness. That is not, listen, you got to be led by the Spirit of God. But rather than judging that person, why don't you just, that's an interesting, what is that about? I'll tell you, most people, if not all, most people who have tattoos are going to tell you a story behind what they had. And there's a reason they have that. What an open door to, but here's what it is. We are so consumed, listen carefully, with being right and everybody else being wrong, that we, in the body of Christ, have forgotten how to care about people. We've forgotten how to care about people. And so we'll go to a function if we think if everybody doesn't notice us, then it's all their fault. Well, why don't you reach out and see if you can get to know somebody else? I mean, what? It says in Proverbs that he who has friends shows himself friendly. Well, Trish had a 30-second to a 2-minute conversation with this young lady, maybe, and then we're just trying to talk to other people and stuff. And we were getting ready to leave, and we said goodbye to my brother. And we were just kind of trying to say goodbye to as many people as we could, but it was kind of hard. And we're getting ready to leave, and this young lady, I mean, she bolts across the room. Ah, she just met Trish. I'm going to get on Facebook, and I'm going to tell you something. If you can get that from a 2-minute conversation, how many know the kingdom of heaven was right there? That was a good place to clap. All right, I heard somebody here. But it's the truth. But you know what the problem is we're not abiding in Christ. We're abiding in flesh, and we call it religion, and rightfully so, because that's what it is. And we wonder why we never lead anybody to Christ. Well, because Christ is not being produced in us. He wants to. Sometimes I feel like, in Revelation it says, I stand at the door and knock. I think that's Jesus on the inside. Help! Get me out of here! Come on, somebody. Let Jesus out! Let him out! Some people think, that they're God's personal judges for everybody. Oh, my. Well, doesn't the Bible say we should judge our... Yes, we do. But come on. People who think like that, they're not even in leadership. They're leadership wannabes. They don't even understand what that scripture's talking about. They don't get it. They just want to use it so they can be somebody. Well, why don't you just be nobody and let Jesus be somebody through you? Hello. That was a good word. Yeah? Uh-huh. Well, pastor... Please, if you ever think like that or want to call me pastor like that, don't call me pastor. Just call me Tony. Call me anything you want, but don't call me pastor. All right. But it's been given to us to know the treasures or the mysteries of the kingdom. But the only way you get it is through the fruits of God's Spirit. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. He says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared. Okay, what does it say? Eye has not seen, ear, you cannot know this. Impossible. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. But verse 10, listen to this. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So there are things past finding out, but if we want to know, then the good news is the Spirit of God that raised him from the dead is living inside of you, Jessica, revealing the kingdom of heaven, allowing the rivers of living water to come out, allowing life to come into everything that is in its path so that you can be a witness for Jesus Christ. By how? By loving people, first of all. By loving people. Now, we've already looked at this, so we're not going to turn to the scripture. But number 10, we got to believe that signs and wonders follow all believers. We started off with Mark 16, 17, so I'm not going to read it again there because I want to get to the next one. But we've got to believe that signs and wonders follow believers. All right. The next point I want to talk about before we dismiss this morning. You and I have inherited God's divine nature, which grows in us through the gifts of God's Spirit. All right? It's not something we strive for, but he works in us through relationship. Now, we're not going to have time. I thought we'd get to it today. We're going to have to continue in a couple of weeks to really start to look at the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm glad we didn't get to it today because I'm not going to rush through that. But the only way that the gifts of the Spirit come is through the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, really walking in them. Let me put it that way, because the gift is something God gives us to minister to other people with. And the thing I can tell you, if you are a selfish person, this will rarely work right for you. All right? Because here's what you get. You get selfish people who have a prophetic gift. And they run around, you know, God may give them a little glimpse of something, and they're kind of like, and they'll go tell somebody something. But if you love people, if you allow the fruit of God's Spirit to start to be, remember Jesus said, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Are you with me? I want this to all make sense here to us. Galatians 5:22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first one. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. As you and I become closer to God, he produces fruit in our lives. The closer I get to him, he starts to produce fruit in my life. All right? And so you can be at something like I mentioned with Trish yesterday. God just moved. I'm just going to go say hi to this young lady. And I'm telling you, not hardly anybody else even talked to her the whole time we were there. I said hi to her, talked to her a little bit, but it's kind of, you know, nobody knew her, and I understand that because that's how it is. When we don't know people, we just kind of put them in a corner and nobody knows them. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, it's the love of God that will reach out and make a difference in people's lives. But it's not something we can produce on our own. It is something that only comes through fasting and prayer and hungering for God and seeking for God and allowing him to work on the inside. Here's what it is, and it really, if you haven't been with us for the past 4 weeks, get online and listen to what God has been showing us, because really from the beginning of the year, as we started this fast together that we did for 21 days, starting the year off and all those things, is am I at a point in my life, I want to leave you with this thought, am I at a point in my life where I've counted everything loss that I could gain Christ? That's what it takes. Not trying to be a better person, not trying to earn points with God, but making the kingdom of heaven your primary, ultimate concern, and then drawing near to him. And when you draw near to him, the fruits of God's Spirit will start to be produced in your life, allowing you to reach out and to minister to people that God puts in your life by the power and the gifts of his Holy Spirit that we'll get into next time we're together. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. Lord, I pray for each and every person here that has heard this message, that you would start to stir us from the inside to be hungry for the things of God, to not be satisfied with the way things are, but to always yearn and hunger for more. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed here today, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray for you. Not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you if you've ever been to church. We're asking you if you know that you're on your way to heaven. If you're sitting here today and you don't know the answer to that question, or you have any doubt whatsoever, you can know in just a few moments that you are on your way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. And the Bible tells us if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we will be born again. And so if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm on my way to heaven, we want to pray with you, and I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand only so I can give you some information that will be a blessing to you, tell you what the Bible says about salvation, a biblical view of salvation, which is Jesus' works. I see that hand up already. On the count of three, I want to see your hand. If you want to pray, one, two, three. I see that, young man. I see that there. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, I'm not asking you to join church. I'm not asking you if you've ever been to a church. I'm asking you if you know that you're saved. Very good. Just keep heads bowed and eyes closed. The two gentlemen that raised your hands, just look at me. Just look at me. I'm so proud of both of you. That is the best decision that you will ever make in your life. All right. Let's all pray together. Everybody just repeat after me, including the two men who lifted their hands. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I make you Lord of my life. I'm not going to serve myself any longer. I'm going to serve you. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for loving me and reaching out to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's celebrate together. That is good news.